Have you guys ever gotten somebody fired from a previous job?
What a way to start this.
I have a few stories, so that's why I'm opening the door.
I have never gotten anyone fired.
Huh. Fun fact, I have been written up by a particular person. That person has reported me to corporate. That person has then got fired, and then I quit because I was done. So
that's the kind of ship you're running here.
Oh shit!
Hey, I outlasted that motherfucker. And he was a rat. Dude was a fucking rat.
Do you know this place is full of snakes?
Man, have I ever gotten someone fired? I don't know. You tell me one of your weird scenarios, Jake.
All right, so I worked at a very big grocery chain for a long time. It's where I met my lovely wife. And there were two guys that I remember. They were not great employees, mind you. We were all like 17, 18 at the time, okay? One guy, he would ask customers, hey, do you know where I can buy shrooms? Like, in the checkout line.
Oh, well, yeah, you're getting the pool going. Yeah,
fucking moron.
It's like, you can't fucking ask people that, dude. It's like, if you want to do that at home, go ahead, because I went home and smoked a bunch of pot anyway. But I was like, if you want to go home and do that, that's fine, but you can't fucking ask customers where to buy shrooms, bro. I reported that because I was like, that's not good. And then he was let go like the next day or two, and apparently his mom was like, "Not my Jeremy."
Oh, oh god, like, yeah,
it was.
I guarantee he was going to be let go in general. Like,
yeah.
I worked with a guy for like 3 days at the nursery I worked at, and it turned out like the second day his mom called and was like, Why are you doing all this stuff making his back hurt?
Oh my god.
It's like working, lady.
Does it work?
Yeah.
We work out, it's manual labor outside?
Is he not lifting with his legs?
Apparently not. But yeah, that was. I didn't get him fired, but I guess he was working with me and he couldn't really cut it.
He was like, I need to lift as much as that guy, pointing at the guy who's 6'3. He hurt himself.
I think there probably was something like he'd hurt himself before the job, but
yeah, probably.
Didn't want to talk about it.
Tim, you and I worked in a restaurant for a long time.
Yeah,
there had to have been people in there that we colluded to get fired.
No, I was desperately searching my memory. The first place, do you remember the mob run place? The management like, I don't
Hold
know
on, what.
Time out. You can't just do that.
Right.
I think I'm going to protect my skin and just not mention it.
Was it run by Jake Arino?
Jake Arino, you know. Why did you get back to Sicily?
Jake Arino's got to move this brick.
What the fuck are you doing, dude?
So I feel like the management there, like, I think they had a perception of me that I wouldn't say anything bad about anyone, so they never asked me. They asked me one time, like, did so-and-so, like, help out tonight? That's when I was a busser. I was like, yeah, they did. They totally didn't. So oh, okay. I think I had a chance to, like, maybe get someone fired, but I didn't. Just because that was when I was, like, nice, but, like, in a bad way. Like, in a dishonest way. Like covering people who shouldn't
miss
be covered
when I honestly miss when Tim was nice. I like that he's angry now.
Tim is good. Tim.
Rage Tim is my new art.
He was stuttering and stammering so much. I thought he was like he had signed an NDA or he was like in witness protection program. I thought he was like
is that a red dot in your forehead right now?
Tim, get out!
I have signed NDAs, but it's not for work.
All right, tell us.
I can't tell you.
That's how I get him.
I signed one NDA in my life, and it was at work. It was stupid. I don't know why I was required to. I didn't have any info on this company.
Though, okay. On the flip side, to kind of go back to the getting people fired just because, you know, don't want to out Kelly and us force information out of him. I was, on the other hand, where someone almost got me fired.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You were almost a victim of something.
Uh-huh. And it was when I was, like, transitioning from intern to full-time at my current job. And, I mean, it technically wasn't fired. It was, like, not going to be hired. But I'm like, come on, this is, like, getting fired.
Yeah, really.
And
yeah,
the boss man was, like, asking various people, like, would they recommend taking me on full-time? And I was talking to a senior guy who's since, like, moved on. He was saying that he vouched for me to stay on. And the boss man is like, oh, that's surprising because so-and-so, like, didn't think he was a good fit. And of course, like, the senior guy's like, I'm not going to tell you who it was. But I was like, no, ah, come on. God, come dude. On. I would have taken it personally. I would have taken it personally.
I just want to talk to him.
You know, it was funny because at my new job, I recently did a 60-day
probationary
evaluation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, like, gave me all these bullshit questions. Like, mm-hmm. What are things you could improve? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Dumb stuff. But I shouted out a bunch of my, like,
welcome to the corporate management world, John.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Get ready for self-evaluation.
But I shouted out, like, my manager, who I've literally only met once. And my partner was like, why the fuck did you do that? I was like, I like raises, dude.
All right, Tim, I know at one of the restaurants we actually worked at together, because I forgot that you had worked at the other one that you just talked about.
Uh-huh.
Because I worked there before you.
We had a small overlap.
It must have been a really short one, yeah.
It was like months.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that place. Anyway, the one way we ended up working at for years together, we had a manager named Dan. Do you remember Dan? Cocaine Dan.
Wow. You couldn't forget Cocaine Dan.
Jesus Christ. You never forget Cocaine Dan.
The whole staff got his ass fired because he was fucking insane.
He's sort of, yeah, like, talking about his sex life and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. And he coke and then, like, went out and, like, rambled with customers on the floor. And it was like, I think he almost got a fight once. And, like, yeah, there was, I remember there was one
tense
summer day.
You don't expect him to do coke by himself, you know?
So this is actually the first time hearing that he was doing coke.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like
was doing coke guys? Now, Kelly, was he a chef?
No, he was the floor manager. He was like the head manager.
I mean, that doesn't so shock me, really.
And yeah,
those restaurants, I mean, drugs flows like water.
Oh God, Dan, Dan was fun, but dude was a psycho. And yeah, there was like one really busy summer in like July, and like I don't even remember what he did, but it was the whole staff was like, we have to get Tammy to get him out of here.
Oh God,
he was gone by like the end of the night.
Wow,
he was actually our manager for a while.
He just wouldn't share his coke.
I don't know if it was a whole
else.
Year, but he lasted a surprising amount of time for how psychotic he would be sometimes. He was fun though, man.
There was a property manager at the tree company I worked at, and he was like, everybody just knew that he was just constantly doing coke. Because you would just drive up and you'd just instantly roll up and be like, how you doing, man? How you doing, man? What are you doing? What are you doing today? What are you doing today?
Rubbing his nose.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, do those things? But yeah, he was just like literally constantly on nine.
Jesus, dude.
Again, at the restaurant the time I worked at, there was one time a server walked up to, I think it was, no, I don't think it was Rebecca. It was one of the other girls we were working with at the time. Walked up and she was like, I need you to go pretend to bus around my table because I dropped my bag of pills under my table.
Oh my God.
And like, she was high at the time. So it was like,
well, that's expected.
I mean, yeah, if you ask that kind of question. To go like discreetly get the bag of pills off the floor next to her table.
Oh man.
Oh, I man, do. I love the restaurant industry, man.
It's incredible. I do remember this one time.
There's times I'm thinking back to the restaurant industry because, like, the only I never gotten anyone fired. It was just like one of those situations where we had a problematic employee that mm-hmm. you're mm-hmm. like, oh, they don't crash and burn, but then we just stopped helping them. And then it got to a point of going, like, because we all knew, like, they didn't do enough to get fired. But you're like, let's see how they do it on their own. And, yeah, they crash and burned.
Yeah, I was going to say, just
yeah, because, I mean, like, it was like, one of those people that refused to help out to do anything else. But, God forbid, if they needed help, they were, like, crying and trying, oh, my God, I need this shit, you know.
Yeah.
And we're all like, all right. And then so we just stopped doing it. And then eventually... I mean, she didn't get fired because it was more paperwork. We just made her life miserable, so she quit. I mean, it just got to a point that she kept trying to take tips from people, saying, "Oh, gosh. I helped out." And we were like,
"Whoa!"
We're like, "No, yeah, that's not how that works." Cool.
Yeah, that's a fireable offense, I believe.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, again, like, you know, when you're working like 18 years old and stuff like that, you get people trying to be up and comers, and they're like, "Money," and then not understanding how taxes work and all that fun
that's
shit.
That's what I do now. Money.
Money.
Yeah. Well, like, it's one of those things when, as soon as you become like a waiter, you're like, oh man, look, all this like actual cash on hand and stuff like that. Yep. But then you actually have to start doing the things at the end of the night where you pay back to, you know, a restaurant, you got all this other crap. I mean, God, there was like nights of having to count out so many hundreds of bills.
Yep.
To make sure the drawer is filled. Like, I do not miss that aspect, actually.
No, it was fun walking out of work on a busy night with just a big wad of cash.
Oh, no, that was always fun. That was always fun. Even better was going to the bank after and depositing it, and then going, oh, so what do you do? I'm like, what do you think?
I'll let you think about it.
I'll let you think of that. Because it's just stacks of ones, fives, twenties. Yeah. I'm just like,
Maybe some cool guy had a Benjamin on him, you know?
It was all good until they stopped letting Kelly wear skin tight leggings.
I only did that. I only did that on one Halloween. It was not a good look.
That's right.
Tips went down.
Honestly, what beats the $100 bills? The guy that paid in nothing but $2 bills, and that was an interesting night because they were like, "Oh, it's legal tender," but I'm like, "Thanks." So I got $2 bills.
Twos. Yeah. You're doing, like, this for a bit. This is a bit, right?
Oh, yeah. He said, like, I was talking to, like, one of the other guys about it, and they're like, yeah, whenever he can, he scrounges up $2 bills to fuck with people, because some people, if they're too young, are like, this is fake. And they're like,
yeah, they have no idea.
No.
Yeah.
They're legit.
these are real. Well, maybe Garn will keep his job in this group. And, well, you know, if he messes up, you know, fire him.
I'm in a probationary period.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried as him keeping his job, just like keeping his life. Like, at this point, I'm the only one who's lost a character, so.
Honestly. Think of what Garn's lived through, though. I mean, what he just came out of, and he lived through that. You know?
He's lived through a lot. He has lived through a lot.
Yeah.
Jake's going to implement the sanity system for Garn.
we can do that. There's a Pathfinder sanity system.
I mean, just for Garn, though. So it's like, roll check. And you're like, huh.
Yeah, Garn, because we're not all completely fucked up at this point.
Oh, this first edition. Never mind.
See ya.
No, you just have to introduce some Delta Green for Garn.
Yeah.
Homebrew mechanics.
No, I'll just convert the first edition rules over.
Oh, yeah, true.
Well, we ended the last episode with you guys going to the Thorny Rose Tavern and going down and meeting Sir Thorn in the Crimson Briar hideout. And the last thing that he asks was, where's Grimshaw?
Oh.
And Bensom, you said, he's gone. Sir Thorn, played by Idris Elba, sort of... it washes over him, and you can see it on his face that you're being serious. And he leans on the wall, and he's like, No, he was indomitable. He, it's not true. Tell me what happened. Tell me everything.
We faced, help me, Jake. What was the name of the creature that...
The Interlocutor.
It was an Interlocutor. Being beyond time and space, he faced it head on while I tried to save the people that were locked in cages. It should have been me.
Damn it.
Scarlet Triad claims another. Did everything we could, and I was too weak in recovering to aid you. I partially blame myself for this. It's too good for this world. It's too handsome. He stares longingly in the into the edge of the room.
Oh my gosh, I never knew. Whoa.
Aww.
That's really sad.
Makes me miss him even more.
Benson unsheathes his sword and offers it out to him to hold.
Yeah, he takes it and looks at it, and he,
There's still the stains of blood that are the Interlocutors and the slavers and all of the people in the quarry. And he says, what?
Kelly actually... Oh, right, because he cleaned your weapon before the fight. I forgot. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. This ruined a great moment. Can we actually cut that and start with hitting the sword?
That's funny.
Benson brings out the sword and it's clean.
So Benson unsheathes the sword and hands it to him. And it is covered with the blood of the Interlocutor and the Slaver and the hyena woman whose name I remember.
Yes, you remember her name to be Laslin.
Laslin. And Benson just goes, hold that up high. That is the judgment of the gods. And it is what we achieved.
This sacrifice will not go in vain. I might be the only living member now of this Crimson Briar, but I will make sure to bring justice for him and for all those who were captured and tortured by the Scarlet Triad. If I might, could I wash the blade clean and give it new life?
As long as Iomedae grants it. And she does.
So he goes to that fountain that had the broken angel heads. And Jesus. He goes over and he spends time just like washing the blade. He does like a prayer to Milani and just starts like washing the blade like repeatedly until the stains are gone. So he's having a moment to himself. But you guys can stay here, by the way. Obviously, you know, this is your home too, as far as Crimson Briar is concerned.
I think as long as he is washing the blade, Benson is praying.
But he's gonna be with himself, and just kind of his thoughts and his prayers for the night. Mm-hmm. It is. I don't know what time you guys came here. Was it like midday?
Yeah, because we went to get sandwiches. We were hungry.
Right.
Oh
right.
Yeah. So Garn was actually there. Right.
Yeah. Garn never had a Reuben. Magical.
Right. So while this is happening, the rest of you are just like eating Reubens behind him.
I think.
No, that's when Garn's like, I don't understand this. And he just throws the sandwich away.
No!
You fool!
Yeah, I think those who are close to Garn can hear him humming the hymn, the post-battle hymn. Just like softly.
Yeah.
This is the second part, you know, blood not rust. So your mm-hmm. blade being cleaned after the fights, that it's ready for the next is,
yeah.
I mean, that is in like the practice of followers of Gorum, is that not only do you fight, but you also prepare for the next.
Yeah, he's got a really cool thing where it's like you're supposed to maintain all your equipment. Mm-hmm. It's like you do not let it go because that is your strongest thing is what you are armed with.
Yeah, like literally, like if you let your equipment get rusty, you could get the ire of Gorum through like a minor mm-hmm. curse. You don't get it the major one. Major ones is for like cowardice and backing down from a fight. But you can get a minor curse from Gorum for neglecting to take care of your equipment.
That's actually one of the curses of Iomade. If you stray from the path, your equipment will always be damaged.
Yeah. I couldn't remember who it was. I thought it was Gorum.
I thought
it was Gorum, but or something that was like every time you pick up a weapon, even if it's like brand new, it starts degrading in your hands because of cowardice or something. It's really neat.
That makes sense because they're like the two deities that are like known to always be clad in like full plate. Mm. So, I assume you guys will show Garn around the Crimson Briar and what's left of it. Obviously, it's been cleaned up in that time. Even though Sir Thorne has been healing, he's been taking care of the place. So what else are you guys going to do while you're here?
Kezra finishes a sandwich, downs his ale, and it's still like, you know, it's like 1 o'clock, right?
Sure.
And we just came from that armorer, right?
Yeah, because we were at the armorer. I got the guy's horn.
Yeah.
So his drinking horn.
That's right. You confused a living shit out of
your guard had that like moment of mania where he was just pulling potions out of the horn.
And the guy's like, "It could do this the whole time."
Has been drinking beer.
And then Jake gave me that sweet 20% discount on anything that Garn needs. Mm-hmm. And I think the blacksmith basically told him that like he wasn't quite ready and like to come back a little later in the afternoon so he can like get fitted and stuff. So I think unless there's something else you guys wanted to show Garn explicitly, then I think he would probably see, you know, at this time if the blacksmith was like ready for him.
You can go back whenever you want there. Elkwood, Kezra.
Kezra finishes the sandwich, downs his beer, and he gets up and he goes, "I'll see you guys tonight." And he leaves. If you stop him, he says he has an errand to run.
And, there's a lady in town.
And
there is.
What Kezra's going to do is he's actually going to go to the blacksmith.
Hmm. Oh.
Okay. And is he there?
He's still working. He has employees and stuff like that, so he's managing the place while they're working.
So, Kezra asks him, he's like, "Do you mind if I rented time with your forge?"
And he looks around, there's like, it's like all manned. Maybe not right now. You want to come back later tonight?
I want to use a forge. You know all those Barzalai Thrun creepy things that were happening in the city?
I took care of that. You took care of it, huh?
Yes, I did. And a little gratitude might be nice.
There's the Kessler.
You want to roll me diplomacy? Because you're not lying. Or intimidation if you're showing like, yeah, coerce, I fucking did it. Yeah.
Pretty good at both. Do intimidation. Natural 19.
Oh my god.
39.
Oh my god.
There's something in your eye that he sees that is just like, oh, he's serious. he is completely serious about this. He's like, hey, Benny. Hey, get the fuck home. All right, yeah.
Fucking Benny.
God damn it, Benny. We're trying to get that guy fired.
And,
you know, Mark, have a hero point. That was a good call.
Hey! Yeah, right. Hey.
Awesome.
And, so cool. Kezra takes Benny's shit, starts, getting him, trying to remember how to work a forge. He hasn't done it in a while. And he pulls out one of the ingots of Dawn Silver.
Oh.
And
he
starts getting to work on something.
Yeah, so I think around that time, Garn kind of, you know, bursts through the door because he has his fitting appointment. Well, I'm back. You ready for me? Hey, where'd Benny go?
Benny was the weakest one. I let him go for the day.
We hired Kezra full time now. We're good.
I hired this fine man.
No references.
Kezra is only wearing the blacksmith apron and the hose.
Oh yeah, of course.
So you see him from behind hammering on some shit, and it's just his ass.
His ass glistening from the sweat.
Hey, yeah, it's just never a seen somebody hammer metal with their cock
rippling back. Ding ding. A shadow of something from the other side of him.
All right. Yeah, he like doesn't quite recognize you at first. He literally like, just met you, but after a little bit, he's like, Kezra.
Just like turns. Gives you a wave. Doesn't say anything. Goes back.
All right.
that's all of that interaction. All right.
Let's see. I guess when that situation, like after Kezra leaves and stuff like that, Elko actually delay. He's going to kind of hang back and wait for Benson to leave, so he'll just kind of go outside and wait for Benson to come back out.
Okay.
Yeah, Benson will eventually come back out with his sword sheathed again. Mm-hmm. I assume he gave it back. Didn't want to have to fight him for it.
Give me a... No, it's cleaned. It's fine.
Yeah, Benson walks out.
Yeah, so this is around midday, I think, right? So
Yeah.
So, he'll kind of like, in kind of like a weird, an odd, like nervous action, that he just kind of waits till Benson leaves. Kind of he's doing that thing where he's like hanging outside the door, and as soon as Benson passes, he just kind of walks next to him. He's like, so, I was curious about something. I was wondering if you wanted to join me tonight to this place that I was shown.
Of course. Why not?
Yeah.
What kind of place is it?
Oh, it's actually quite nice. It was a... it's a kind of like a dance hall / bar / entertainment venue. But I think you would find it kind of interesting. And, well, there was... I mean, I was shown it, and it kind of eased my mind. A little
bit. Okay. Sounds lovely.
Yes. So, I mean, and again, you don't have to wear, you know, the armor and all that stuff.
Unless, you know, something happens, armor might be nice.
Random encounter table.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just thinking back to that setting, and he's just like, I do not think you will need armor. That bar was very defensed in its own way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I would love to go to this bar with you, Elkwood.
Oh, wonderful. That works. I mean, that won't be till later, as far as I know. I have a couple things to run as well, until we, you know, get everything all sorted and we're back in Breach Hill. And, yeah, like, after that, I mean, because midday, he's going to actually head to the Wizard's Tower? I forget what that's called. The school.
Oh.
Of
magic.
Oh, right. That was called...
It wasn't the Silver... No.
No.
Can you bring up the map of...
Oh, right. The map.
Because that had the names of everything.
Right, right.
Here we are.
Oh.
Look at this place. The Alabaster Academy.
Yeah.
That's right. It was something pale. Ish based.
We're giants.
It was the Polish school. It was the Irish opera house.
Yeah, that's right. All right, but yes, he's going to. He'll head over there.
Not going to Lady Decur's, huh?
It's on the way.
they're like a few blocks away.
Listen, I got to stop at the Gat Academy, then I'm going to stock a Long Roads Coffee House, and then I'm going to go to Lady Decur's. And then I'll go fishing. You know, it's fine.
Oh, you got a whole day.
I mean, dude, like half day, like where we are now. Actually, where are we starting from?
So you guys were... Where did we put the...
The briar?
I don't remember where it was.
Somewhere in the market, right?
I imagine it would be somewhere in like the market area. So the war cage, which you see there, that's the that's like the blacksmithing area.
Yeah.
So it would probably be around there. Which is kind of funny because I don't think that you guys really did too much on the south side of town. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, we didn't really do anything.
Yeah. The opera house is where. Elk was there.
Right.
Elk was there a lot. So you guys are on the north side of town this whole time.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy that there's like one bridge.
Apparently. Yeah, bleak bridge.
Oh my god. I was just thinking that. I was like, wow, that bridge goes out.
the traffic on that is horrible.
it's like if the road
goes...
It's
awful.
Dude, since we're all from the Eastern Shore, but you know, if you ever had to go to St. Michael's, you're like, God forbid, if there's something happening on that road going over to St. Michael's.
Oh, good
Michael's,
lord, dude. I know that shit way too hard.
Yep.
I used to make that drive all the freaking time. So I do the pain.
It fucking sucks.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's going to stop at the Alabaster Academy first. And then if he needs help negotiating, then he'll go to Lady Decur's and go back to the Alabaster Academy. I want this, and the wizard's being mean.
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk good.
Okay. All right, so you go to the Alabaster Academy first. You can see that there's some rumbling, but it appears that some of the rumors of some of the stuff that had happened when you guys were here last time have kind of gotten out. So it looks like they're actually cleaning out some of those old towers that they just weren't using. So it looks like they're trying to, like, you know, make sure that it's locked up tight. You know, they're going to start using it again. They're like, how do we let someone just set up a whole thing in here?
A whole slave quarters in the top of the fucking tower.
You know, you turn slave. It back 1 minute and all of a sudden
there's a triad.
It's a whole human trafficking operation.
And not to forget that first floor, man. You better bleach that. Bleach that floor. Oh, nasty. God,
those
dirty
those,
teens.
Your kids fucking.
You go in, those two teens are getting married.
You're like, oh my god, what did we miss? Why weren't we invited?
It's been 2 weeks. What the hell?
They move fast over there. I mean, so actually while he's over there, could he do perception to see if anyone's kind of watching him as well?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that, like, knowing that how to town is or the city is.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the eyes are everywhere right now. Perception's a lot higher now too. Oh my god, Kezra luck here. 19 on die. 38.
Cool.
Definitely. What you see is you see a halfling who seems to be following you for like a block, and then he sort of like goes off, and then you see like another halfling that seems to follow you for two blocks, and then when you look at him, he's like, oh, I'll take that right there. He's like talking to one of the vendors.
Yeah, I feel like if that starts happening, he's gonna then suddenly stealth and go into stuff to try to trip him up.
Swamp, just disappear.
Yeah, I mean, like, and he, because I mean, like, he knows it's most likely the Bellflower Network.
You helped them out so much that, like, now that you're here, they're probably just like keeping tabs on you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he's back, you know.
Why is he here?
Oh, a couple halflings sprouted a couple feathers out of their abdomen. It was weird.
Man, I don't know. I just didn't trust him. Yeah, I mean, that would have been the thing of turning around. Don't follow me! I'm like,
I feel like someone's trying to sell me something. The SpongeBob reference for all that.
Home ground coffee.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, we're right by the coffee house anyway. But yeah. At the Alabaster Academy, he is going to look for, I guess, charms. I don't know if he's able to figure out. He's trying to, like, he doesn't know the proper terminology, but he's like, I want something to do this. And it's ultimately, he's trying to find something to where that would prevent scrying on him.
Ooh.
Okay.
Those are like powerful magics.
That is.
Or is that something that could be done there? Detection. He's basically looking to be hidden from scrying eyes, basically.
So a non-detection spell. Veil of Privacy is what it's called. Nobody can look at you while you're changing your clothes.
I want them to look.
Hold on.
This brought to you by NordVPN.
This is NordVPN. Holy shit.
The first sentence is, you erect protective wards. I didn't make that up. I was making a wiener joke.
Protective cock.
You erect protective wards that make the target difficult to detect via magic. Veil of Privacy attempts to counteract all detection, revelation, and scrying effects used against the target or the target's gear through the throughout the duration. Duration of 8 hours. Counting cantrips as first rank spells for this purpose, successfully counteracting a spell that targets an area or multiple targets negates the effects for only Veil of Privacy's target. So you want to get something that you can use. Yeah, like what is permanency? Like, could you permanently get this permanency?
I mean, that would be probably way too high level. I think it's probably just that he doesn't understand magic as well as everyone else does, so right. He's just like, can it just do this? Can't you wave your magic wand and make it happen? Come on, you're IT, right? He's inquiring, basically.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't find the answer he wants, he'll stop at Longroads Coffee House, you know, get a latte.
So they have one, but I'll say this. They have an amulet that you could use once a day, you know, like the in order to do that. Mm-hmm. I'll say it's only a spell level 3, Veil of Privacy, though. So if somebody were a very high level spellcaster using scrying, it would break right through.
You would have to get a high level, a highly heightened version of it to probably be effective.
Yeah, right. So they have one. It's just that what they have is very low key,
weak.
He'll
do the thing that I do when I'm really just inquiring about a certain thing, and I'm like, wait. So what can it do? And then I'll just ask a million questions to make it work. But I'm the most infuriating person to deal with sometimes when I'm like, hold on, sorry, I'm asking so many questions. I just really want to understand this.
If you think about it logically. It might not protect you all the time, but it might protect you some of the time. And just like logically, if I was like a person scared for my life that somebody's spying on me, even a little protection wouldn't be bad.
True.
Maybe they try and they fail sometimes, and then it's a
I mean,
because like, I imagine he's probably pretty freaked out of the idea that he's being watched at any time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so even comfort from that might just help.
Yeah,
something weird too. Scrying is a level 6 spell.
Yeah,
I thought it was higher. I don't know why, or lower. I don't know. I thought it was like a level 5.
No, I could have picked scrying at this level.
Neat.
But who would you spy on?
You
elk.
You ass. I knew it.
When Elk gets back, you go, where'd you go today?
What? Don't lie to me.
Coffee house. Question. What you got there? Coffee.
Coffee.
Just I'll take a mocha. Once he figures that out, finds it out, then, I mean, he might just get it. Just for peace of mind, as you kind of said it.
Yeah.
But then go from there. To the coffee house, and then to Lady I don't know. That is the weirdest thing, because she is, like, the headmistress, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah. Would she be there all the freaking time, though? It's kind of like one of those things of, oh, she's out, and then she's actually, like, stalking someone else.
doing information gathering.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the thing, too, is that she runs a school first, so True. She is probably at the school.
Okay.
You know, if you're the principal, you're most likely there all the time, too.
True. Yeah. It's just more or less of just going, like, well, I guess I'll go into this. It feels weird. And just like, hey, is your headmistress in?
all right. Yeah. I mean, are you going to go in and look for her?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, he's a skilled swordsman, too. So if they need, like, be like, hey, like, I can teach, you know.
Mm. All right. So when you, and you go up to the school, you can see that there's some young girls, you know, 13 to 15, that are out practicing. It looks like they're doing some pretty basic fencing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the teachers is, like, hard. And it's like, again, more vigor. No, your strikes need to be direct. And you can see that they're putting them through, but they they're going to be deadly.
Oh, yeah.
deadly swordsmen eventually.
I mean, these were the teenage girls that, like, captured three triads.
Right. Yeah.
beat the shit out of them and tied them up.
Tied them up.
When you walk in the front door, she is standing there in the hallway, seemingly waiting for you.
Cool.
Oh, wonderful. No secrets.
You survived.
Yes. Somehow I did. And he'll kind of look around and he goes, can we speak somewhere more privately of the matters?
Of course I could.
There's a lot.
I'm very, very glad to see that you've returned safely.
Oh. I thank you for your concern. It was a rough going, and it's kind of like they're walking probably together, like her leading to a room,
mm-hmm.
office.
Yeah, her office, yeah.
And so he does just relay everything, starting from when they reached, oh God, where is that? I'm just going to call it the two-bar town at this point.
White Rock. Yeah.
White Rock. I mean, they probably sell rocks there, too.
One rock, two bars.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, he'll start revealing everything, like, that's been going on there, like, and how kind of dogged they were. It felt like that every time we went somewhere, we were being attacked. And then bringing up the quarry and the situation there, and brings up, you know, Grimshaw. And it's like the entire time as he's talking, it's just very matter of fact in a way that it's almost kind of like he's reciting kind of like an inventory at this point. But
yeah.
It's kind of like as he says Grimshaw, though, he's just kind of sucks on his tooth for a minute, like kind of just.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It was gruesome for him to, like,
yeah.
you know, see someone flayed like that. And
yeah.
while he didn't interact with Grimshaw the most, nor did have, I guess, the camaraderie that Benson probably had. I mean, since they were both, like, knights,
mm-hmm.
He's still, no one should go out like that. And it just kind of gets him a little bit. But yes, the quarry is clean, I guess. It's stain will forever be there.
I don't believe we could wipe away the stains of evil entirely. Unfortunately, they taint the ground that they perform on. But you've done good work. Lacunifex will use this information and aid the Crimson Briar in any way we can. I am greatly concerned for Sir Thorne, as it means that he's the only one left, I believe. I will check in on him every now and then.
Yes.
But you are
peace now in the city, by your doing, in fact. It appears that things have been much more lively. I guess seeing Barzilai Thrun slip away into obscurity once again has given everybody a sense of community. Sense. Well, you are welcome to stay here. You have a place here if you wish to just clear your minds. I do need to get back to my duties here at the school.
Yes, of course. And he kind of stands up, kind of like pats his sides down for a moment, and then pulls out a it's like the weirdest like thing that he could think of, like token wise, but like one of those. It was just a stupid idea of like, and in his mind he's like, this would be cool, and then gives it, like holds it out, and it's like a more of a polished fang from one of those creatures that we killed that were like the iron, what were those things called, the sloth.
The sloths, yeah.
Oh,
because
the,
he took like a ton
he
of
did. It's like cold, they had like cold iron
cold
fangs
cold iron.
Yeah, but he was kind of working on that, like kind of secretly.
Zombies.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yep.
Zabumafoos. Zabumafoos.
Yeah.
They're very large dead.
They're lemurs. Yeah, but he was just kind of working off and on with it, like polishing one of them. But like after I think he met Mallory, he just kind of made this one and kind of just. It's a weird token, but he's just like, well, I don't know if this will mean much, but. This was from our travels in the Mwangi, and we encountered some rather savage creatures that tried to make a meal out of us, but as far as I know, that's quite nice to use against... It's still sharp. And
she takes it and she looks at it and sees like the work that you did to kind of like, you know, smooth out the edges and stuff, and she goes, it's finely crafted by your hands. I expect nothing less.
There's like a little scrawl in it that's just a heart with M plus E.
just this weird, like... Oh,
And you thought I wouldn't do it.
There's like a couple of scratches out as I fuck something. I was just like, oh, shit.
Damn it.
I can't use another one. I only have one.
I made the M too big.
Oh, now I gotta make it smaller. I can't. But yeah, now I appreciate that. I mean, I tried to do other things than, you know, being a killer, I guess. And
she gladly puts her head down and allows you to put it over her onto her neck.
I didn't say it was a necklace.
What is it?
Jeez, now.
No, it's just a polished rock. No, it was. Yeah, here, have this rock. I mean, it's what I do in real life.
I got your rock.
I found this bone. It's pretty cool.
I got a rock.
You'll be surprised how often that works with people I know. But no, he does. I mean, like, it was intended to be more of a weird-ass, big-ass pendant, actually, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But then she could stab someone if they try to attack her.
There
I mean,
you go.
I'm thinking
absolutely.
Practical.
Right? Of course, yeah. He's a practical guy, yeah.
It's a very practical gift, so...
Well, she gladly accepts it, and she goes, you hear some of the teachers and yelling, and she's like, I must return to my duties, Okunt, but perhaps I will see you later today or tomorrow.
Yes, perhaps tomorrow. I'm actually taking... Benson to that one place you brought me.
Oh, right.
Little Miss Drury's, I believe it was.
We had a lot of fun there. I hope Benson has the tenacity for fun as well.
Well, I think we all need it after this excursion.
And she accepts and bows and then walks out.
Yep. And he departs.
A real will they won't they situation.
Will they? They will. They will.
Maybe they already did.
The
we just didn't do the.
The <God they're> just...
It's really a soap opera.
in that, what's the frame rate they use in soap operas? Like set like 75 frames or something like that.
They mess the frame rate of the actual show.
Yeah, what? Yeah. In soap operas, they use like a higher frame rate for shooting. Huh.
Have you ever seen? I mean, is off track, but like with watching an actual soap opera and then watching like a TV show, there is a weird difference between it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's even worse on the when everything was going from tube TV to the plasmas and stuff like that to the LEDs.
Yeah.
That the frame rate just went insane in the soap opera. So, like, you're looking at the... It felt sickening, actually, in some ways, because the...
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were, like, looking at it, and you're like, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, so I just Googled it. So, most movies are shot in 24.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that they can kind of, like, smooth over some of the action shots and stuff like that. But they don't have that in soap operas, and so they're all shot in 60 frames, and that's why everything looks super intense.
Oh.
Even, like, super old soap operas, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called the soap opera effect. Yeah. Anyway. Kezra, you are working on this when Garn walks in. Garn, what do you do? Because you were coming in here to get fitted, but you clearly see Kezra working on something.
What I kind of imagine happens is he goes, like, gets his measurements done, you know, either by the head guy or, like, maybe someone else who's there because Benny's gone.
Mm.
And he's, like, trying on various types of armor. And like, this one, I don't know, pinches the shoulder, not in the right way. Another one, this is, like, I need more protection. And they finally settle on a breastplate. And he's like, this, it offers the protection I need, but it's just too heavy. It's too heavy steel. It weighs me down. It must be lighter to move across the battlefield. It's there. I need something lighter. Something lighter. And he kind of looks over at the Dawnsilver that Kezra has. Because he's a dwarf. He knows his metals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And...
You can smell it.
I can smell it. I can almost taste it.
That's Elvis metal. Get it away from me.
And he looks... Maybe you're like taking a water break or something, Kezra. Dabbing your forehead.
You see Kezra just take like a huge swig of beer and then just like... It's not even a cup. It's just like a giant... Or like a small pot. He just like pours water on his face and then just like dumps it on his head. And he looks over at you and like spits a little bit.
Say, none of these metals are good. I need something better. I see you have some Dawn Silver.
Oh yeah.
I believe our agreement with me joining is that I'd be outfitted. Tell me, do you have more? I know it is a precious material that does not come by easily, but I promise that my battle prowess will more than pay for whatever it costs.
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't even gonna use this whole ingot here. Found a whole mess of these things.
Yeah, totally, bro.
but I'm in the middle of something. I know that guy can't work with this stuff.
Wow.
He's like dealing with a customer and he hears that and he just shoots eyes at you.
I think by the rules of the settlement, yeah, that guy can't. Unless Jake makes a deception that guy's a master crafter.
He walks over and goes, that's Elvish metal.
You wish you could bring hammer to this.
Oh, God. Well, my measurements are taken. And he brings over the piece of paper. If it isn't too much to ask, perhaps I could have a breastplate and a shield?
Yeah, I guess I could do that. I gotta finish up with this thing. I'll be done by done by the evening. But,
what? Yeah, what sure. are you making?
Nothing. You'll see. I don't even have a good idea of it yet. I'm still in the early stages.
Just looks over, like, looks like some crude, drawing, like, some child made of, like, I don't know.
There's like a...
like just square. Just
like
a square.
There's like a doodle in the margins where you can still tell I got bored. It's just, like, a half-orc with boobs.
Gosh, she's so hot.
Is that why you were so sweaty?
I'll do it in the forge, all right?
But yeah, it's least I could do for you, helping us finish that fight. Yeah, leave your measurements with me over there on the bench, and it'll probably take a couple of days.
Thank you, Kezra. It'll be nice to be donned in armor once again. The days in the loincloth. It really brings down the morale.
Yeah, well, this stuff will be hard to steal, and it'll as light as that loincloth, so...
also, on a completely unrelated note, do you know where I can buy clothes? I don't know anything about this city.
We went straight to the armor, didn't get you any clothes, just hightailed to the other side of the town with all these dirty-ass prisoner.
I was just thinking that. I was like, did we get him clothes?
No.
The whole time, Garn is begging, like, guys, could I get some clothes?
Like, just, no,
guys,
no.
There's a dwarf clothing shop right there.
Please, I don't have any money.
Sorry, we don't have time.
He goes over to a little cubby, just says Benny over it, and he pulls out some old dwarf clothes. Like, here. He's not using them.
It says property of Benny on it. That is the guy.
Kezra's like, oh yeah, I see that.
And he just burns a little bit of that fabric until the name's gone.
There we go.
Benny's basically dead, just deal with it.
It's a human-sized shirt that just says, I love my girlfriend on it.
Because by the time Benny comes back here, we're not even going to be in town.
Oh my gosh. So like,
I mean that. You just add on that, Jake. Sorry, you just have to have the arrow also pointing.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. Arrow.
Arrow. Yes, she bought me this
shirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, imagine Garn can flex out of that shirt.
Oh my gosh! So Garn just walks out, just a shirt that thankfully covers him. But it's one closet shirt. It says, "I love my girlfriend with an arrow," and he's like, "I really gotta get some proper clothing."
Sounds like you gotta get a girlfriend.
And a girlfriend.
Where's your girlfriend? She's over. Oh.
Yeah, no, she was over there. This shirt doesn't make any sense if I don't have a girlfriend. All right. Benson, did you want to do anything before you and Elkwood go to the dance club?
Unfortunately, no. I don't think Benson really has anything to do.
All right.
Guys, so what, I don't know, buy some healing potions with all the cash that you have by chance?
So you guys go to the club.
You know what? We're just going to take Sunny D containers and just fill with healing potions. We're fine.
No. There's a Costco like 5 blocks away from the club, okay? Just hop in there, get a value pack of health potions.
They're all sold out.
Ah, this is why you have to get here when they are first open. Back in Taldor. You always
had to be...
Oh, God, he's going to be one of those guys.
Back in Taldor. Taldor, that was a good country.
Oh, no, they were basically economic ruin.
Oh, that explains it.
All right. Do your shopping.
Okay.
Hopefully.
You guys get to Elkwood and Benson. Mm-hmm. You get to Little Miss Drury's. I'll read it again because I think I read it, a fucking year ago in real time. Among the bevy of dance halls in Jarvis End, which are often some combination of tavern, brothel, and music venue, this new establishment prides itself on drawing crowds to its dance contest and performances of experimental music. So I remember I had the idea of like the like elvish dancing and stuff like that was sort of like the cultural Indian dances where they're like super elaborate and they have all these like steps that like everybody follows and stuff like that. It's beautiful, beautiful to watch. And so you go in. What time do you guys go in at this point?
Imagine it would be later.
Yeah, it'll be later. Probably dark.
Okay.
At some point.
So you guys go up and you can hear the music going. The tavern bards are playing great ditty. When you walk in, there's a bunch of people. There's people that they're doing whatever. Sort of like line dance is happening at the moment. Take it from there.
And Elk, I think at this point, like, he would also not be in his armor anymore. He would be not exactly in that fancy dress because that seemed more opera house anyway.
Yeah.
He probably would have went around and got, you know, basic casual clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, of course, you know, you have a dagger on him or something like that, but he's keeping everything pretty close.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Benson is casually dressed, but he also, against Elkwood's coaching, has a side sword.
Oh, that's fine. A side sword, yeah. I think, is customary. It's just that you're like, let's go to the club, and you're like, full plate armor. Let's go.
Come on, fantasy time. That's basically just like your Glock. It's your everyday carry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that kind of reminds me of, like, you know, you got the officers in uniform and they have like the cavalry sword sort of scenario. Like, it's very fancy.
Yeah. That's what Benson is rocking.
Very nice. Yeah. So, I mean, he leads over. I mean, probably chit-chatting slightly on the way, but once they're inside, I mean, he finds kind of the area where they sat before,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of looks around, probably recognizes the bartender if he remembers.
Oh yeah. He holds up a glass of like champagne or like high wine, mm-hmm. High dollar wine, and kind of nods at it like, you want this?
Yeah, I want this. But yep.
What's the question? Give it to me.
Yeah. The answer is yes. Duh. Come on. Yeah. So he walks it over to you, and it's just like, hey, good to see you. You've been gone for what, 2 weeks now or so?
Yes, it feels that way actually. Well, actually yes, but God. It's honestly weird, like, thinking about it, because now I'm like, man, 2 weeks. That's why I, like, have to get into the mindset. I'm like, it has been 2 weeks, and all this shit happened. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when he says that, he's just like, yeah, it's been a hell of a 2 weeks. Benson, what do you like to drink?
I'll take an ale.
He walks over and just grabs a mug and just pours it and hands it to you.
Let's drink.
Yes. And he'll again go with more of a wine, probably like the thing that Malari kind of turned him onto. I mean, just mm-hmm. because, you know, high class stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of coming back in bits and waves, but at the same time, he's just like enjoying it and it's sipping. He doesn't want to get trashed. So.
Yeah. It's a nice evening. Like I said, people are dancing. There's bars up there that are singing and having a grand old time. Mm-hmm. And you guys are just kind of hanging out at the bar, kind of off to the side.
Yeah, off to the side at least. Like, not to raise too much suspicion, like saying, hey, mm-hmm. these people are here. But, you know, kind of off to the side so that we can just kind of chat amongst ourselves. Just trying to turn it into like a regular night in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without the stakes of everything constantly being here. Just because it kind of felt like when right around the quarry area, it was just kind of everything was so high stress that it turned into like we need something. Like, we need a bit of a reprieve. And so it's just chatting. It's just trying to catch up, ideas, like, thing, like, just trying not to make it about work in a way.
Yeah. So one of the songs that that you remember, the bards start playing. It's a jaunty tune about, you know, the two lovers or something like that. You know, it's a fun one, and people come out to and start dancing, and maybe the wine's getting to you, but you just want to jump in there.
Do I have the roll will save?
roll a will save with severe negatives, because it's a good song.
I failed. Yeah, that was a fucking low roll. I mean, once again, my will saves worse. It to target me. That's all you need to do.
So the music starts going, and all of a sudden, what happens is that the crowd gets like crazy. Mm-hmm. Like all they start like cheering and stuff. And you guys look up, and you see a bard that has just gotten on stage that is apparently a hit here. Mm-hmm. Super long red hair, white skin, half elf. And she takes out this like wild-looking lute, and she starts shredding this like fantastic bardic tune on it, and people are going nuts. She's looking out at the crowd, and she's like shredding on this thing, and then like the singer is like the singer is banging on like a barrel like under him like as he's singing, and as she's like playing this lute like you wouldn't believe, she looks out of the crowd, and she sees everybody dancing, and then she sees Benson, and she just like stops for a second.
What?
Benson, and, you lock eyes with her, and you know exactly who this is.
Yeah. And I think Elkwood is probably close enough, and he hears him say a name. Poppy.
She points off. She nods over to the side of the bar. The music's still going, but to you guys, it's quiet. The music is completely blocked out for both of you. And she nods over to the side for you to follow her.
And Benson looks to Elkwood like he is about to run away.
Oh. Whoa. Benson, what's like going on?
Like White Claw grabbing his sword at his side like he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, and he is probably one of the few times that he actually just like grabs Benson's wrist for him. I mean, he's like, what's going on? I mean, like, he's also kind of, you know, a bit drunk at the same time. He's like, you know her?
I know her. We have a bit of a history.
I mean, I don't think running would help. He's just kind of looking at your posture.
At this point, Benson, you know, kind of fight or flight at this point, but he has decided to just give up.
So you go to follow her, and she goes like behind the curtain, like where the bards would like, you know, kind of like tune their instruments and stuff like that. And you slowly walk back, and you sort of go around the stage, and you go behind the curtain, and you look left where you see a bunch of instruments, and you look right, and she's standing there, and she's just like, "Where the hell have you been?" And she grabs you by the scruff and kisses you.
Oh my god.
I'll see you guys next time.
What?
Oh my god, I love it.
You're amazing, Matchmaker.
If you're a long-time listener of the Dragon Punch Squad podcast, you know that we like to shill dice around here because, well, I, Timmy, am a dice goblin, and I just only think about dice for most of my days. Wake up, have a nice bowl of dice to get me started in the morning, put a little milk in there, For lunch, I had myself a sandwich of some D12s carved up in some nice triangle and quadrilateral shapes. But enough about my dietary habits and dice. I'm here to tell you about Misty Mountain Gaming, how you can save 10% off using code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout. And if you've been buying dice from Misty Mountain Gaming, or perhaps you've bought dice from our official dice partner, Black Oak Workshop, or maybe you're an OG listener and got yourself a set of Dice Wide dice, you're gonna need some containers. And did you know that Misty Mountain Gaming works with Talon and Claw? Who's Talon and Claw? Why, they are crafters of fine dice boxes. So go to MistyMountainGaming.com, scroll down, find the Talon and Claw page, get yourself some dice boxes, and also 10% off with code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD. Once again, MistyMountainGaming.com, code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.